This programme was funded with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
Hello, my name is Tom Brady and welcome to the series Living with the Border. The border cut off natural hinterlands, separated communities and neighbours that had lived together for years. While the hardships people suffered as a result of the border have been well documented, these programmes intend to look at the funnier side of living along the border. My guest today is Mona Daly from Carrickmacross, County Monaghan. She has been residing in the Dundalk area for many years and she will share her memories of border living. Welcome to the programme, Mona.
Thank you very much, Tom.
You are a native of Carrickmacross. What was it like growing up in a border town?
Well, I was born in 1947 and I'm the fifth of seven Daly children born on the main street of Carrickmacross. And my father had a hardware business beside the Garda barracks. You know, it used to be the RUC barracks, Tom. And Frank McNally of the Irish Times did a wonderful piece about my father and a relationship that he had with a fellow called Danny McGovern, whose father was the sergeant in the RUC. And because of cross-border threats and interference, he decided to emigrate to America. And he went in 1922 and Danny became an American citizen. But my father and Danny had formed this friendship and they corresponded and they met each other regularly. And then Danny himself went into uniform. He went into the Air Force and he ended up being a photographer and filmmaker with the Air Force artistic wing. And he was tasked making hundreds of propaganda and training films. And he survived two plane crashes. And that man, Danny McGovern, sent comics to the Daily Children in Carrickmacross all his life.
Patrick Kavanagh was born not far away from Carrickmacross.
Yeah, he used to come into the house and Mummy'd say, "Get him out, Val, he smells." Isn't that desperate? But I'm sure we didn't know he was a genius.
Were you aware he was a good poet at the time?
No, of course we weren't. He was just a drunk and a smelly one. And then it turned out, of course, that he's a genius and I absolutely love his work. And I go out to Enniskeen for the weekend every year. And I went on the bus last year and it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, they do a great job out there. It's where I met my second husband. I took him on a first date to Enniskeen. So we went out there recently to celebrate our 24th anniversary in Enniskeen. So Patrick Kavanagh is very much linked with my relationship with Yankee. And Patrick Kavanagh's doctor was my Uncle Mick. So I used to go out in the back of the car with my Uncle Mick to nurse Patrick Kavanagh and members of his family and didn't know where he was going.
Did you learn any of his poems at school?
Yes, I did. No, not at school, but I have them. And my friend Rita McCormick died recently and a Patrick Kavanagh poem was read in the church and it was absolutely so moving about his mother. Of course, he adored his mother. So Patrick Kavanagh in our house, certainly for me, who lives locally, I'm very attached to Patrick Kavanagh and his works.
When you were growing up in Carrickmacross, were you conscious of the border troubles?
No. No, I wasn't. But I was conscious of Protestant-Catholic tensions.
That's right.
Yeah. And my first boyfriend, Georgie Keegan, taught me how to kiss. Every time I scored a goal, he kissed me. And then I...
Scored a goal playing games?
Yes, playing games, yes, Tom. Yeah. It was very innocent those days.
Did patrons come across the border to attend discos or dances?
Well, I wouldn't know because we were never allowed. We were sort of very well guarded by my parents. I was only allowed to go to Ballymac with my brothers and my sister, you know. Like, you wouldn't be allowed to go to local dances. I wasn't even allowed into the local chipper, never mind the local dances. Anyhow, people in our day didn't go dancing until we were 17 or 18. Did you go dancing?
No. So you're well protected by your parents.
Oh, yeah, well protected. Well, not, you know, like they thought they were protecting us. But that's just the way it was. You know, you had to go with your brothers and sisters.
Did you help out in the business?
Yes, all the time. I absolutely loved being in the shop with my daddy. He was the love of my life, my daddy. And I loved, and we had one of these old-fashioned pulleys where you put the money in, and it shoots up to the office, and I loved doing the office and taking out the receipt, you know, giving the change and sending it back down. And I worked in the Delph, and I worked in the beds, and I worked in everything but the oil and the timber. I mean, we were all very involved in the shop. Now, the shop was open on a Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Like, I mean, people came out of the pubs and bought anything.
General
hardware. And then my brother took over the business and he cut it down by about a third. And he turned over a profit of three times more than my poor father, who was rearing seven children on it, because Val had the experience. He was sent for 3 years to Moat and 1 year to Dublin. So he had all this experience, which Daddy never had.
Yeah. And There was a market every tourist.
Yeah, I remember it was great. Fair day in Carrickmacross.
Would be many patrons from Carrickmacross, from the north?
Yes, they used to come over. We'd hear all these northern accents. Yeah, that was true. But I wasn't really aware that they were from the north. It wasn't quite like that. It wasn't really talked about in our house.
Yeah.
My parents were Redmanites, and I don't know if that affected the conversation.
And would there be much cross-border trade for shops in Kerry?
Well, honestly, I can't answer that, Tom.
Yes.
Because I really wouldn't know. I never was aware that any of them were northern. But since we lived on the border, there must have been plenty of cross-border. But I wasn't aware of the border at all.
Yeah. And
except when Mummy'd go north.
What was your first experience cross?
That was with Mummy. Mummy was a bit of a rebel.
Were you driving in a car?
Well, I wasn't driving. Mummy was driving.
Your mother was?
Yeah, sure. And she was love smuggling. Oh, God, that was, you know, like she had a northern, a border mentality. She loved cocking a snook at the customs men, and she loved cocking a snook at the British. So going across the border with Mummy was always an experience, and Daddy was mortified by her because he was a peace commissioner. And he was, you know, a real upholder of the law. And here was Mummy going off with all these kids in the back of the car, and she'd be smuggling khaki pants. She could hardly walk for all the things she'd underneath her skirt. She wore a big, big skirt. She'd be like the Romanians now, a big, big skirt. And she'd have everything underneath it. And one day she was asked to get out of the car, which she was absolutely furious because she had rashers, packets of rashers up her legs. Wasn't that desperate? So anyhow, down they came, the rashers. Now, they were in packets, I want you to know. She wasn't that unhygienic. And when they confiscated them, she said, "Excuse me, but I'd like a scissors." So they didn't know what the scissors was for. And Mummy cut open the packets, and she cut all the rashers up into little pieces and let them fall on the ground. And she said, "You're not going to enjoy my rashers this evening." So they were a bit annoyed with her, to say the least. And she was taken home in a squad car. And Daddy had to take her out of the squad car.
So they seized all
they
the
seized
rashes.
Everything. Oh, yeah, they seized everything.
Well, what town did you go to in the north?
We went to Newry.
Newry?
Newry was the big place that we went to from Carrickmacross, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you didn't go to Crossmaglen?
No, we didn't go to Crossmaglen, no, but you know the old saying, from Carrickmacross to Crossmaglen, there are more rogues than honest men.
Yeah.
We were aware that the north was a place where it was another land. It was a foreign country to us. We didn't go on holidays there. We didn't even go sightseeing or touring there.
Yeah.
Really, we were quite cut off from the north.
Yeah.
But we have northern accents. Like, my father worked in the office and Mummy did the washing. So when they laugh at me in Dublin when I say these things to this day, washing and office, like, we have northern twangs.
Yeah.
But we didn't think of ourselves as northern. But we could have been northern if the line had been different.
Of course, it's an Ulster county, man.
It's an Ulster county. And I feel quite Ulster.
Yeah. Plantation town.
Yes, yes. Like, I mean, I went to the Louis Convent and, you know, we had a castellated wall and it was the Lord Essex Castle, as you know.
In the Louis?
In the Louis, yeah. And we were always aware of that history there, yeah.
Yeah.
It was an Irish-speaking school.
The Shirley Estate?
Oh, yeah, and my uncle was the Shirley doctor. Uncle Mick was Shirley's doctor and we used to be brought out. And I remember going up the drive and I remember playing with the Shirley's kids. Yeah, while he was inside. And that was, it was great. Like, we just took that for granted, a big, big house. I didn't think very much about these things. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Just take them for granted.
Just took them for granted.
I wish I'd written them all down, you know?
Yeah. So now, Mona, we'll take a break. Have you a favourite song?
Well, I do, and I'd like to dedicate this to my parents. Either Percy French, anything by Percy French, or else I Dreamt I Dwelt in Marble Halls, because that's what my father and mother both loved, and they used to sing it at the top of their voices when it came on the radio.
So then you moved to Dublin. What age were you when you moved
to
Dublin?
Well, I moved to Dublin when I was 18. I left the Louis and I went to Dublin. I went into Guinness's. And I mean, you know, that was a prestigious job. My father used to tell everybody in Carrick, my daughter's working in Guinness's. Like, you know, it was a big deal. And so when I was in Guinness's, I absolutely adored being a Guinness girl. Oh, my God. I loved it. I wish I'd stayed on and gone up to the top of Guinness's and done a degree like most of my friends instead of getting married.
You were able to get the free Guinness up there.
Well, I sure I never drank.
I know.
You know, yeah. Never even thought about it. But you got free medical, you got free everything. They were wonderful to us. First day I was there, table at the 12 o'clock lunch, at a table. Bob Wilson from Dundalk, Sister Marjorie was there, and I was asked, which foot do you kick with? Now, I didn't really know what they meant, but I knew it wasn't great, so I said, I don't play football, and I was in with both sides, because that was also a very divided place, Guinness's. Do you get that? Yeah.
And Dublin was different.
Well, I was
across the border, and Dublin was completely
different. They looked down on us. They thought we were cultures. And I always loved being a culture.
Yeah. Did you become more aware of the border then?
Tom, I know that you'd love me to be aware of the border, but honest to God, I was not aware of the border. Yeah. No, I'd never even give it a second thought. I came from Carrick and Cross to Dublin and I was so busy coping with Dublin and being self-conscious in Dublin, even though I travelled to Paris and I had done a lot of travel that other people hadn't. Dublin is a big culture shock after the country. Do you know that? Yeah. And by the time I'd settled down, and I used to come down to Dundalk and Carrick every weekend. You know, at that stage, I was going out with my my first husband. And the border, his parents went north every single solitary Saturday afternoon. They went north. They were very northern orientated. If they were alive, you could be interviewing them.
Yeah. And after a period in Dublin, you moved to Dundalk?
Moved down to Dundalk. And then I had two children in the south, both very traumatic. One was born at 25 weeks, that's my eldest. And the next one was born going up in the lift in the rotunda to the applause of 22 trainee doctors. So I third time round, I went north. And the difference in being treated by Buster Holland in the north and being treated in the south...
What hospital in the north did you go to?
St John of God's.
St John of God's.
And the difference,
where is that? In what?
It's in Newry.
Oh, Newry.
And the difference in being treated in Newry, you were treated as a person who could think. In the south, you were just a mere commodity that was churning out another baby. It was the difference between night and day, the respect that I got in the north from the south. Isn't that a sad thing to say?
Yes.
Like they thought of women as being people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference between Carrickmacross and Dundalk. Carrickmacross has a population of probably 5,000 and Dundalk is over 30.
Yeah.
Did you find a big town different?
No, not at all.
You fit it in easily?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, it was hard to settle in because it's hard to settle into a new place anyhow. But I mean, was it hard because I was from Carrick? No. Now, I still go back to Carrick. I still work in the Louis Convent, Carrickmacross.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, so I go back to Carrick, but we have nobody left in Carrick. There isn't a single of the seven dailies there, even though my brother's business on the Dundalk Road is still there, Daily Brothers. But there's nobody living there. I've lost all connections. I actually feel deep down I'm from Dundalk.
But of course, you probably became more aware of the border troubles because Dundalk was hit by some of the.
Oh yeah, and we were on that. We lived out in Rockmarshall, and we had the checkpoints all the time to come in and out. It was very inconvenient. Let's put it that way, and really they were cosmetic. I felt. I sometimes saw behaviour that I didn't actually like. I saw harassment and stuff like that that upset me. When I saw Northerners being pulled out of their cars late at night, women in the back with no shoes on and things like that, I just didn't like that, Tom.
By
guards, oh yeah.
By the guards?
Oh yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. I know you're an ex-guard, but anyhow.
Yeah. I never came across that.
No, but I did. I saw that they enjoyed sometimes on the... The, you know, on the checkpoints.
The troubles really brought, didn't help the business in Dundalk.
Oh, no. It definitely paralysed the business in Dundalk.
March.
You could see that. Yes. And I was also here when there was a march onto the barracks. Do you remember that time? Was that 1972?
Yeah.
And I was actually caught in that. I had to run down Market Street and try and get into my car. And my ex-husband's cousin, Niamh Sreenan, was married to the chief super, Hugh Sreenan. Do you remember Hugh?
Yeah.
And so they were caught. They were completely, herself and the two kids were caught inside
the barracks.
Living in the barracks. Yeah, and they were caught inside the barracks. It was all a bit tense.
Yes.
Like, and you know, I have, since I moved to Dundalk, like I've worked in Moorhevenamore, and it's really very influenced by the north, a lot of it. And I was very aware when I was working there of the northern influence, and I found the children extremely closed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were you involved in any of the cross-border schemes?
Yes, I went, believe it or not, to Moldova, which is the poorest country in Europe, with a cross-border enterprise. And I went overland through 11 countries to get to Moldova. And there was 2 million worth of equipment, medical equipment, being sent ahead of us. I was a guy from Drumiskin that was doing he was driving. But the money had been raised in the north. And I was there with Fraser Agnew, who was ex-assembly, and I was there with Desi Grant from Drogheda, who had a newspaper. I was there with nurses from the Royal Victoria Hospital. One was a Catholic, the other was a Protestant, and they were 20 years working together, Tom, and they'd never spoken to each other until they were forced in a bus to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I was with them. That was fascinating. And by the time we got to Moldova, we weren't allowed in because they wanted a bribe of €1,500. And I had the €1,500 on me that nobody knew about. And eventually I waited a day to see what had come from anybody else. And I gave the money and in we went. And the first two pieces of equipment were already stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would you cross the border regularly during the troubles from Dundalk?
Well, I did because I was going up to my gynae.
Oh, yeah.
Now I go up to the north because I did... I went to Queen's for 7 years to an English literature class. I have friends in the north. I go up to Castlewellan. I love the north. I love the people in the north are very, very friendly. I was caught in a march, a 12th of July march in the north, and it was the scariest thing.
What part of the north?
It was in Strabane.
Caught in the middle of it?
Yeah, caught in the middle of it, and it was not a nice experience. It was very, very, very tense.
Were you driving?
No, I was walking. I was trying to get to my car again. And, you know, there was a fellow, and he was marching, and he was banging his drum, and he had his little grandchild with him, and the grandchild had the same face as the grandfather, a very intransigent-looking face, and she had a wee bib in her saying, "I'm a child of no surrender." It's just unbelievable. And to think that Arlene, you know, might be over there negotiating at the moment in this Brexit thing. You know, not in the Brexit, but I mean negotiating with Theresa May about marches in the north again.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
Of course, the marches have been on for the last 400 years.
Yes, but they have...
Tradition.
But they, yes, it's a tradition, but it's a tradition that has been curtailed a little bit. And it's a wrong tradition. There should be no marches south or north of the border. They should have been just banned everywhere, because I was in those marches accidentally. And I can tell you, it's more than just tradition. It's pure, bloody, violent hatred. And they shouldn't allow hatred. I thought there was an incitement act in the north.
Of course, you have St. Patrick's Day marches in the north too. And
well, St. Patrick's Day's march is a celebration.
Yeah,
now, they may say the other's a celebration,
but
it's a triumphal. St. Patrick's Day marches aren't about we won the battle. It's got we rid of the snakes, I presume.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never even had to think about it before, but I know it's not triumphalism. And then I'm not, if I'm in a Patrick's Day march in Dundalk, I'm not marching down to the Protestant church into the grounds and round to show them that I have supremacy today. So there's no equation.
But what I'm saying is, if you ban one, you'd have to ban them all.
Well, why not ban them all if it's going to stop? If I lived in the north in one of those communities and I had those marches and I had my children that I couldn't send to school, I think that's an absolute disgrace. And they're just cowards that they don't stop them altogether.
The Good Friday Agreement of 1998 was welcomed and brought peace and prosperity. Was that welcome in Dundalk, the Good Friday Agreement?
Of course. It was welcomed everywhere.
It helped.
It helped businesses. You could see that they started coming down again, and that was a good thing. Cross-border trade was a good thing.
And it was easy crossing the border?
Oh, it's easy crossing the border. It's no problem. That's why I'd hate a hard Brexit. I mean, none of us want a border again.
No.
Yeah, it definitely changed things, the peace agreement. But, I mean, you know, and I know, it wasn't really a total peace agreement.
No, but
because nothing is. But it definitely had a great
advantage. It was a step in the right
direction. It was a step in the right direction. It was, and thank God for it.
Most troubles ceased, really, on the border.
Yeah.
And security.
Yeah. Was lifted a bit.
Away, really,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It was great to see them leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I feel, I mean, As somebody who lives in a cross-border, I lived in a cross-border town, I didn't realise I'd quite imbibed such a nationalistic view. I would be a nationalist.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Now, in your view, will Brexit affect the border?
Of course it will. If it's a hard, it will. If it's a soft, it will slightly. I don't really have these answers because I don't think even Theresa May has them. And now with Arlene Foster going over to her, I don't know what's going to happen. It's all a bit nerve-wracking, isn't it? Yeah.
It's hard to know what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, you know, I was watching a wonderful programme on BBC One the other night on the elections from beginning to end, and it was absolutely fascinating the way the young people in the end came out to try and redress the fact that they hadn't come out for the Remain vote.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like to see checkpoints and customs posts back in the border?
No. Why would anybody want that?
No.
But that would be retrogressive.
It's a possibility.
It is a possibility, I know. Yeah, it is a possibility.
Yeah.
I just like if they just give up and give in and we had a united Ireland. That's what I'd naturally like.
Mary, this London's a wonderful sight, with the people all working by day and by night. Sure, they don't sow potatoes, nor barley, nor wheat, but there's gangs of them digging for gold in the street. At least when I asked them, that's what I was told. So I just took a hand at this digging for gold. But for all that I found there, I might as well be where the mountains of Mourn sweep down to the sea. There's beautiful girls here, but never mind, with beautiful shapes nature never designed, and lovely complexions, all roses and cream, as O'Loughlin remarked with regard to them same, that if at those roses you'll venture to sip, sure the colour would all come away on your lip. So I'll wait for my wild rose that's waiting for me, where the mountains of Mourn sweep down to the sea. You remember young Peter O'Loughlin, of course. Well, he's over here now at the head of the force. I met him today, I was crossing the Strand, and he stopped the whole street with one wave of his hand. And there we stood talking of days that are gone, while the whole population of London looked on. But for all his great powers, he's wishful like me to be back where dark Mourn sweeps down to the sea.
So you're also involved in music and drama.
Well, I was. I mean, this is all sort of, I'm really, I'd still teach in youth reach. You know, I go in for the summer.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I go to the Louis Convent, and I was down at St. Vincent's this year, which I absolutely loved. I get jobs all over the place. I mean, I still get offered work, which I absolutely love. It keeps me feeling connected to the community, which is very important to me because I love Dundalk. And I'm a big defender of Dundalk. If people say, how come you live in Gundalk? I get very defensive. I say, there are wonderful people in Dundalk. It's a wonderful place to live.
So are you still involved in the community in Mairheavyna Mór?
No, I'm not involved there. I'm not. I used to cooking classes down in Cox's. Like, to tell you the truth, Tom, I've done an awful lot in this town. I've been involved in it. When I look back in it, I've been involved in an awful lot. But the town has given me a lot. You know, I think it has given me more than I've certainly given it. And I do work in Good Morning Louth. And I ring only one day a week, of course, and I ring people in their homes to keep them socially connected. That's a great service.
That's a good service.
Oh, it's an excellent service. It's wonderful. And so that's what I do. And I visit people in their homes, old people in their homes.
And is that prearranged?
That's prearranged. But you mean like the timing isn't prearranged. I have to ring up and say, listen, does it suit you? Like, I'm going to visit my woman now after I've been speaking to you.
So it's been nice talking to you, Mum.
Thanks very much,
Thank
Tom.
You very much.
Thank you.
Living with the Border is a series of programmes documenting the life and times of people living and working along the border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland.
This programme was funded with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.